This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Well, I'll tell you, we got all kinds of stuff cooking over here. All kinds of stuff going on,
including
over
us.
Is it too hot in here for you?
It's a little steamy. But
what's the temp in here, Matt? 75? 77?
Can I just tell you, I'm going to say this once, and going to move on from it. I am so sick and tired of warm weather in November, and it infuriates me that it's going to be almost 80 degrees on November 15th.
Okay.
All right, I just need you to know that, and if there's anything you can do about it, I need you to fix it.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll do what
sick
I can.
Sick to my stomach, Tom.
That you think that highly of me that I could change the weather.
Well, who else am I going to bitch at? It's got to be somebody.
I am. It doesn't bother me necessarily. I did like that cold snap, though.
It's great.
I thought that was kind of nice.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's great to be with you. We do have some stuff cooking, though. You know, you got this 11/20 celebration next week. I can't wait to tell everybody about that. What's going to happen?
We got
to
keep what we do know under wraps, right?
Yeah.
We just tell people that on November 20th, KMOX all day.
Can we tell them that much?
Yeah. Okay. KMOX all day, we're blowing it out. We're going to have a big day of broadcasting. None of the shows are going to be the same. It's just going to be dignitaries and former KMOXers and current KMOXers.
That's awesome.
11/20, that will be the big day we celebrate our 100th anniversary.
100.
Can
we're 100 years old. It covers a lot of ground. Just a lot of great stuff has happened on these airwaves over 100 years. The other thing going on is the Jack Buck Awards. Can I say who won what for the Jack Buck Awards? I'll go ahead.
Don't ask me.
I'll go ahead and put it out there. Let me ask you. I'm just curious who you would have voted for. Here's the ballot that the members of the Missouri Athletic Club voted on for Sports Personality of the Year. Now, keep in mind, this was a thin, I would say, year in terms of success for St. Louis sports, but this was the group. Brendan Donovan, Mason Wynn, Jordan Bennington, Jim Montgomery, Robert Thomas, Dennis Gates. That was the six on the ballot, Chris Ronji.
It was Jim Montgomery. And we're not talking this. I think the voting was done before this season started, right? I think it was based on how the Blues finished last year and got into the playoffs when nobody thought they were going to.
And the winner was Jordan Bennington.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that the members kind of did this too. They said the Four Nations face-off was a big deal.
Yep, there you go.
Winning for Canada and then taking off after that for the Blues and guiding them to the playoffs and, you know, becoming the Blues all-time winningest goalie. And last night, he becomes the Blues all-time goalie when it came to games played. Monty's a good choice, though. I probably came in second, but Bennington wins it and will be honored at the Jack Buck Awards on December 8th at the Missouri Athletic Club. I think that's going to be a fun one.
I think the reason I would have picked Montgomery is you can sort of coincide the Blues turnaround with his arrival. In a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So that would have been my pick, but you can't go wrong with Bennington either. And I could see why the Cardinals, nobody from the team, you know, was selected. It's tough to pick against a team that ended up in the playoffs and was a second away from bouncing the number one seed.
Donnie was put on there because he was an all-star, and Mason, in anticipation that he would win the Gold Glove, which he did, he had a terrific year, especially from a defensive standpoint, but those were the choices. I thought Dennis Gates was a nice one on there, led the team to the NCAA tournament, lost to Drake in the first round, but had a good year in a tough SEC. Anyway, that's the group, and then Binner, who will be honored that night, will be joined by, they've got a good one, Jim Hart, the longtime St. Louis Cardinals quarterback, will be honored with the Legends Award. When is the last time we saw Jim Hart being honored in public in St. Louis? That is going to be a monster reception there at the MAC for him. And then you go from a legend like that to an up-and-comer, Matty DiMaria, who plays soccer at Koryaesu, is not only the best player in St. Louis. This past season, she was named the National Player of the Year in high school soccer, plays here in St. Louis. So she will be honored, as well as some of our very own, the Jack Buck Award, which goes to someone who has been dedicated to St. Louis sports and the community, and I would say so, for the last 20 years, the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney is receiving the Jack Buck Award that night. And the Burns Bregg Award, which is for promoting St. Louis through sports, more play-by-play. In fact, the duo that has been doing it for three decades now, Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr., are going to be honored with the Burns Bregg Award. That's another big one. So Carlo Bauer Award goes to Dee Maria, Burns Bregg for Rammer and Earl, Jack Buck Award for John, the Legends Award for Jim Hart, and the Sports Personality of the Year for Jordan Binnington. Now, there was another award that was handed out and accepted by this person, and unfortunately, he's a little busy and can't make it into town, but this would have been a mega get. And we're going to get him doing a video for the crowd and for our listening audience on KMOX, but Jason Tatum of the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
He's honored to receive it, the David Freese Hometown Hero Award, and he said, I just can't be there. I've got to be with my team. And he's continuing to rehab. He's actually doing really well.
Doing?
He's doing great coming back, but he's going to do a video presentation for the crowd there. So that's a fun one. That'll be December 8th at the MAC. That all just came together, and we're excited about it.
So, Tom, speaking of dates, and we talked a little bit about this on the Chris and Amy show earlier today, and today is the 30th anniversary of the TWA Dome opening. And it's 30 years. I don't know what it is about 1995. But it just doesn't feel like it was that long ago, even though it was an eternity ago. But it also kind of feels like an entire, like three generations has passed since the Dome opened and we got the Rams, and the Rams got off to a pretty good start. I mean, winning a Super Bowl 5 years after you arrive in town, I don't think that you could ask for much more than that. You also don't expect, when we're having that championship parade and then the team is a couple of years later back in the Super Bowl, that about 12 years after that, they're going to be gone again. You don't really think that's going to happen, right? So it feels like multiple generations have happened since the Rams got here and that dome was built. Doesn't it? It's almost like it's a different town altogether.
It's crazy to think, not to pick on our producer here because we love him, Matt Pajeski, but that he does not remember the greatest show on turf. I mean, when were you born, Matt? Sorry.
2000?
Oh, 99.
Yeah, the year they won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's crazy to me. Yeah. Like, that just happened to me. I covered the team. You know, we were both here at that time. At KMOX, I mean, it was just an amazing time. In fact, I covered the teams. I graduated from college in 97, so I covered the 97 Rams, 98 Rams. They were not good. Dick Vermeil was the coach, but they could not get going. Tony Banks was the quarterback. There was always controversy surrounding the team. They couldn't get – remember, they drafted Lawrence Phillips, and they couldn't – nothing was working. And, you know, they had Orlando Pace, though. You know, you had the best tackle in football. And then Mike Martz comes along and everything that goes along with that. Kurt Warner, after Trent Green gets hurt, Marshall Faulk, which was the steal of the century from the Indianapolis Colts. Bruce, of course, had already been there. Holt is added, and on it goes. I mean, it was just an amazing time. But to think that was 26 years ago? Mm-hmm. 26 years ago? That's unbelievable to me. I remember very well the Dome, and the first Rams teams were actually playing at Busch Stadium in 1995. And then they went over to the Dome in the middle of that season. In fact,
in November. Yeah,
in 95, I was in college, and I went to go see the Rams play the Colts in Indianapolis. And they won. And it was just, they didn't win that game, but they went in like the hottest thing in football. And then started to fall apart. But they were playing their games earlier that year at Busch Stadium. That whole time is just crazy. And it's amazing to think how fast time flies by. It really does. I mean, all that still seems somewhat new to me, and it's ancient history.
I came back from, I graduated college in 01. And I was back here in town for about a year before I moved up north. And so it was, you know, it was post Super Bowl, but they were still a good team, right? They had already won the Super Bowl. I was here when they went back to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. I was in New Orleans for it. Didn't go to the game, but I was just in town while Super Bowl week was going on and then the Super Bowl itself. And it just, there was quite a feel to St. Louis when the Rams were good. So I didn't get the experience actually physically being here during the actual Super Bowl championship run. I was in college during that time. But being here post that and post another Super Bowl run, not winning, but going to it, there's just a different feel around the building, in the neighborhood, you know, just being a part of St. Louis. And at the time, it was considered one of the best sports cities in the country because all the teams were good. The Cardinals were good. The Rams were good. The Blues were good. Everything was in, you know, a really good position. We had just had a Final Four here, right? Or no, the Final Four was coming up.
05.
The Final Four was coming up, you know, a few years later, and probably in part because of how good of a sports city this was, right? So this is it feels different now. You know, it just feels like it was an eternity ago, all of that happened, even though it also kind of feels like it wasn't. Because to me, when you say 1995... For whatever reason, I hear that and I think, oh yeah, it was just a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we had a magazine cover, a poster up in the sports office forever from the Sporting News, which was a thing then as well, St. Louis-based Sporting News, that had St. Louis was the best sports city in America.
That's right.
And it had, the cover was Jim Edmonds and Chris Pronger and Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, yeah.
Marshall Faulk, of course, was a superstar and all the things that went with it, as you just mentioned. That was 26 years ago. That blows my mind. That was in 2000. Aaron, who loves to comment on YouTube, said it'll be 26 years before the Cardinals and Blues will be championship level the way things are going here. Aaron, we do not need that negativity.
Come on,
right
Aaron,
now.
Damn it.
That's enough,
said,
okay?
What the hell?
That is enough.
You know what?
Get him out of there.
It's Wednesday. If there's a day of the week to be happy, it's Wednesday.
I mean, come on, man. Now, listen, it is a concern. Honestly, I will say, who's the closest team to a championship right now? Yep, that's what I thought. Crickets. There isn't one. Now, the best team going in town right now is actually the St. Louis Billikens.
Yeah.
And they are really good. Now, they've scored 309 points in their first three games. That's pretty good. They've played some subpar competition, although they blasted SEMO by 25 and Mizzou needed some last-minute heroics to beat them by 5. But SLU has a chance to kind of take this city on. It's been a while. Larry Hughes is the last one to do it where they were filling that place and it was the place to be when the Billikens played and Charlie Spoonhour was the coach. There are times in our history where a certain team takes over the town. We're known as this baseball town, Cardinals, Cardinals, Cardinals. But the Rams did it when Brett Hull was scoring goals and playing with Adam Oates. The Blues did it. And there was a period of time, believe it or not, where the thing in St. Louis was the St. Louis Steamers. I mean,
I remember when I was a kid, you wanted to be at
the game to see Slobo play and to see Tony Glavine and all these guys. I mean, they were the thing. The Billikens have a chance to be the thing in town, actually, if they play this right. There was a period of time not long ago where City was the thing. And City is still a cool place to be and all that stuff, and people have invested their money in the tickets. But, you know, SLU's got a chance to be the ticket for a little while here. They're going to have to run the table, though. They cannot slip up. They've got to win all these non-conference games.
We talked to Bob Ramsey about this on Monday, and talking about that non-conference schedule, that because it's not, you know, it's not the strongest schedule, they pretty much have to win all those games if they want an at-large bid, because the league's going to be, they'll finish near the top of the league, I think, but it's still going to be tough to win it, which means an at-large bid is, I don't want to say it's unlikely now, but it will be very difficult if they don't just absolutely run the table in non-conference before they get to the A-10 play.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they've got Grand Canyon this Saturday is one they cannot slip up on. They got to handle them. They're going to play Santa Clara, who got them. That's a really good team.
Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, well, you could be okay there, I think. But anyway, it's an interesting thing. Who's the next team to win a championship in St. Louis? Nobody has that answer. Now, if the Cardinals can build themselves a franchise again, it's going to take time, but they could take the city over pretty quickly if they build themselves a giant again. But again, time will tell. I do not see this as a quick fix whatsoever.
Nope.
I think the Blues have a chance to do it, and probably if you're looking at it, you think that's a steep climb right now, the hole that they've dug themselves. City hired a new sporting director. Could they turn it around as fast as they did in the first year winning the Western Conference? I don't know, man. That's a tough deal. That's a tough one to climb in Major League Soccer,
is,
too.
But it's not. It has happened. It does happen in MLS. But yep. Here's the thing about them. They promised us playoffs before last season. They better deliver next year. Unless they're trying to say, look, hey, what we promised you, we're going to have to take a step back from that because we have to rethink how we're doing it. And you might need to give us a couple of years. We'll probably have some patience with that. I think most people will. I mean, let's be honest. City is fun to go to. A lot of people really are into it. But for many St. Louisans, it's probably a casual event for now. And it could become a thing where it is it could be as big as hockey someday.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not. And it's certainly not as big as the Cardinals. The Cardinals dominate everything. So it could become that. But if you really want patience from the fan base, you might have to ask them for it. However, since we were promised playoffs last year, I think they kind of have to deliver on that. By the end of 26.
It's a fun little conversation, isn't it? I mean, we're going to circle back to baseball here in a moment after we take a break. And then we have Bob Nightingale of USA Today with us at 12:30 from the GM meetings in Las Vegas. But I appreciate you bringing up the dome. I did not realize that, actually, that it was 30 years today. And that dome could still use a little bit of cleanup. I mean, there's some stuff they've done very well. New field, new lights, and the Battlehawks are maybe the Battlehawks are the closest to a championship.
Actually, you're probably right.
Yeah,
that's
the answer.
The answer is the St. Louis Battlehawks closest to a championship. Okay. Aaron, our guy who was telling us that it's going to be 26 years before the Cardinals and Blues will be championship level.
I disagree.
And then he follows up with, "Prove me wrong." Here's the thing, Aaron. It's not possible to prove that wrong.
I'll be nor is 76.
Nor is it possible for you to prove it right. Prove it right now, that 26 years from now, that's how long it's going to take for the Blues and Cardinals to be championship level.
I'm telling you, those Billikens, they're older than KMOX. 111 years of Billiken basketball.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
They may not win an NCAA title anytime soon, but they can win the conference. Get me into the tournament. Make a run in the tournament.
Lauren thinks it'll be at least 5 years for the Cardinals. I don't know about that. I think they could get back into contention in maybe three.
Championship contention?
I think three they could start to put themselves back into. It depends on how fast they accelerate their young players. I don't know. Five seems like a lot. Maybe that's realistic. Aaron, we're starting to tap into Aaron a little bit here. He said he needs a. I almost feel bad for him here. I need a team to win at some point. I feel you on Aaron.
I'm with Aaron.
Aaron, I'm connecting with you on that one. I agree with you. Now, there was an interesting thing that came out. What was that? The Action Network?
Yeah,
what
you know the Action Network.
I do.
I'm a
little bit.
Isn't this Darren Rovell's thing, Action Network?
Oh,
or did
yeah.
it used to be? I'm not sure exactly. So I think he used to be involved somehow.
They are very good at getting engagement.
Sports betting, odds, picks, that sort of thing. That's Action Network.
All right, give it to me.
They surveyed Missourians, about 2,300 Missourians, sports fans, about what it would take. They asked them a bunch of different questions, but some of the biggest findings were they asked what you would give up to win a championship for your team. And the teams they included were the Cardinals, Blues, Chiefs, and Royals. Okay, and they did break it down by city that you were from.
Okay.
Parts of the state. So.
We're not going to be talking about the Royals here.
No.
Okay.
Well, no, not really.
All right. Just think of this as St. Louis and maybe Mizzou. Okay, good.
27% of Missourians said they would never eat toasted ravioli again to get a championship for their favorite team. 25% never eat pork steak. 23% said they would never tailgate again. Now, here's the most interesting one, I think. In order for your favorite team to win a championship, would you like to see the St. Louis Arch destroyed?
My goodness.
Okay.
Did somebody vote for that?
11% of Missouri.
What is wrong with you people?
11% of Missouri said they would.
Arch destroyed? Come on now.
No. Yeah, this isn't a joke. Now, let me tell you what the breakdown is, and this is, I think, the most fascinating part. The most fascinating part is the breakdown by city.
Okay.
11% of Kansas City said, yes, they'd be okay with the Arch being destroyed for a championship. St. Louis, 15%. So 4% more St. Louisans were willing to see the arch destroyed for a championship than Kansas Cityans.
It's a weird kind of survey because Kansas City doesn't have the pull here. You know, they don't have the heartstrings for St. Louis.
They don't have the heartstrings for the arch, but in fact, fewer Kansas Cityans were willing to see the arch be destroyed for a championship.
That's wild.
I would sacrifice, like, I'd let the entire state of, you know, the entire part of Kansas City fall into a sinkhole if I could see the Cardinals win a World Series.
That's so interesting. Look, here's my feeling on it. Pork steaks would be fine because I still have my ribs. I mean, unless you're telling me I have to give up all barbecued pork, that's a tough one for me. Pork steaks can go. I love pork steaks. They're great, but how often do I really eat them?
That's right. I'm right there with you.
You know, toasted ravs, that's a tough one, man. You had those ravs in the other day. Those are pretty darn good.
Not bad.
And by the way,
from Bartolino's.
We've seen World Series. Matt hasn't, but we saw a Super Bowl. We saw Stanley Cup. I mean, we've seen some cool stuff. Let's say.
More people in St. Louis were willing to give up, were willing to sacrifice the arch than were willing to from Columbia, Cape Girardeau, Joplin, and St. Joseph. All of those towns were more likely to save the arch.
What is going on with our folks?
I think people in St. Louis, they're like, we've seen it. We've seen it. We've had enough. We know. We get it. We get it.
The arch is awesome. Poor arch. Leave the arch alone. I had a friend one time. This is before the Cubs won the World Series. We posed a question to him and said, if we could, this is after the Cardinals won the World Series in 11. If we could guarantee you through the rest of your life, the Cardinals will never win the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
But also that the Cubs will never win one. Would you take that? He goes, in a heartbeat.
Oh, that's crazy. Now, that's just nuts. Remember that group of guys after the Blues won the cup? They're at the arch trying to push it over into the river.
Oh, jeez.
One guy goes, she ain't budging.
Oh, man. That's right. The arch is here to stay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's put the pieces together for the Cardinals. How do they get this thing back on track? It starts with the GM meetings in Vegas going on now. Bob Nightingale is there. I hear Chaim Bloom is a very popular man. Lots of interviews, lots of teams knocking on the door, calling him. Who's for sale? And what are the Cardinals looking for? Bob Nightingale coming up next on KMOX, live from Vegas. That's going to be a good game right there. KMOX carrying college football again. I love that.
Love it.
Oklahoma and Bama. Actually, Randall suggested, before we get to Bob Nightingale, that reminding us, a few hours east of St. Louis, a team that's beginning to have success, the Illini, they're right. He's talking about basketball. That team is good. They beat Texas Tech last night. Might have the most talented roster in the country right now. I think Illinois basketball. We'll see if it comes through, but you're right. Illinois is, if you're counting the Illini, which you should in this market, they're the closest to a championship right now. Let's see how close the Cardinals could be with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. He covered many Cardinals playoff games through the years here in St. Louis. How are you, Bob?
Yeah, doing great. How about you guys?
Doing great. GM meetings in Vegas. The Cardinals aren't close to winning a championship anytime soon, but Chaim Bloom has his sights set on building the team back to that. Let's start with Chaim. What are your impressions so far of the new Cardinals president of baseball operations and what he is setting out to do?
Yeah, I mean, certainly had a, coming from Tampa with a one year after year, with a small budget, went to Boston, tried to kind of rebuild it there the way they wanted, and then, got let go before he could see it all the way through. So, no, he's got good reputation. We'll see what happens. And he wants to kind of start from the ground up. So, they're going to be bad before they get good. So, I think we're still talking about probably a couple of years away.
Bob, from the people you've talked to, I want to ask you about that reputation because some people that we've, heard from, and I wouldn't say it's anybody of note, but I think fan bases, the one in Boston in particular, think that Chaim wasn't particularly good because of the way things ended there. But from the people that you have spoken to, people from inside the game, what is the reputation really of Chaim Bloom around the sport?
Well, he's a very smart guy, and let's be honest, I mean, he didn't want to trade Mookie Betts, I know. He was one of the most lopsided trades in history, but they didn't want to sign him as a free agent. He was under orders to trade him, get the best he could. you know, could he have got better prospects? You know, sure, you know, nobody turned out. But it was, you know, it was ownership kind of dictating that. I mean, who wants to trade a Mookie Betts? So I think that's, you know, what it came down to. And, you know, he never got to see the thing fulfilled. And now we've got a chance to do things his way. I think it'd be, you know, less ownership interference than he had in Boston. So I think, you know, he seems very excited about it when I talked to him the other day.
Bob, are they lining up to talk to Chaim Bloom from around Major League Baseball? Is it widely known now that the Cardinals are ready to deal some of their bigger names to acquire some younger talent?
Yeah, but just, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys you're going to get, you know, pieces back. You know, Sonny Gray, you're going to have to eat some of that contract to get back a decent prospect. You know, Nolan Arenado does not have the same value as he had, you know, a year ago at this time. So they'll listen to, you know, they'll listen to other people. They'll listen to all names. But there's not a whole lot there that's going to say, oh, these guys are going to bring back a thing and really kickstart the rebuilding project. But that's, I think, it's going to take time. I just don't think there's those guys right now at the major league level that are going to get you the prospects you need.
You got a trio of players with no trade clauses. You mentioned them, Gray, Arenado, and you have Wilson Contreras. What about, let me up the ante a little bit, Brendan Donovan and Alec Burleson. Does that get people's attention?
Yeah, now that would get people's attention for sure. You get more prospects back in return, where the other guys are more, you know, just really salary relief. And that's why I think it's going to take time. You know, you're in the right division, the National League Central. And, you know, the Brewers showed you don't have to have a big payroll to win. They do it, you know, year after year. You kind of dominate this thing. So, but I think, you know, probably 2028, I think, would be more realistic. Like, okay, now they're ready to get going and make a run for the division again and maybe control it like they used to.
So we are asking a lot about what other teams might want from the Cardinals off the current roster. What are the Cardinals likely to do, or how will they approach filling out their roster for 2026?
They're probably going to be, you know, to be honest, more bottom feeders. Like, okay, wait for this free agent market to, you know, pan out, then sit back. And you know, there's always guys who fall through the cracks. There's always guys that think they're going to get more money and don't. So I think they'll do that. Like, okay, let's get guys a 1 or 2 year contract. They can rebuild. And the bottom line, I was talking about just about Chaim Bloom the other day, is, you know, in the past, free agents always said that's the number one destination. It's the easiest place to play. And the fact that, you know, and, you know, the Cardinals used to always be a perennial contender. The fan base is rabid. If you have a bad performance or so, you don't have to get trashed in the papers by tabloids and things like that. So it's always been an, you know, a premier destination, just an easy place to play. I mean, I think in hindsight, you talk to David Price, he said, you know what, I made a mistake. I should have played for the Cardinals instead of taking the big money and going to the Boston Red Sox.
That's so interesting. And, you know, changing the mindset, that is one of Haim's tasks here, is to change the way people think about St. Louis and building the team accordingly. I've actually meant to ask you this. I mean, Bob, you, like I said, you've been here for the greatest moments. You've seen St. Louis at its best. Right now, yeah, it's a rabid fan base, but you're not seeing them in the stadium. There's just a different feel around here. You've lived here, Bob. You know this fan base. You know this town. What do you see? What is going on, and what are people saying about it?
And they're just kind of waiting for a winner, which is natural. And I think, you know, I think they'll start turning up again once they realize, okay, these young guys are good. They're on the brink. People love prospects. People love prospects now more than ever. So, you know, now it's probably, okay, we'll wait to see the good teams that come to town. You know, it's probably going to, you know, drop again in attendance. And that's just a natural thing. And I think, you know, they're ready to explode, you know, once that team gets on the brink again. So that's why I think, okay, 2 years from now or so, we'll say, okay, we love these prospects, we hear about them, and let's go get our season tickets now before it's too late.
Talking with Bob Nightingale on the Gashouse Gang on KMOX, and we are all looking ahead I mean, we're trying to keep a focus on what's going to happen for next season, but we're also with the back of our in the back of our minds thinking about beyond that, because a lot of what does happen during this offseason could be affected by how teams believe the lockout is going to unfold the following year. So in December of 2026, that lockout is expected to happen. As we sit here right now, do you expect it to be an extended lockout, Bob, where it really is affecting how teams approach this offseason?
You know, I haven't heard any GMs saying, okay, we've been told by ownership this stuff on its way because we're going to lose money in 27. I do think some of these contracts, the big-time contracts that come up, are going to be front-loaded. Like, okay, if you want to, if you guys aren't going to play in 27, you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to miss a big paycheck. So the people I talk to think the lockout, they're not trying to, present a dire picture, but I haven't talked to anybody that doesn't believe there will be that there won't be a lockout. So I think you're thinking more June 1st, July 1st, just a realistic thing. That's going to be an ugly thing, and let's see who blinks first.
Bob, what are people saying about gambling and what has happened with investigations, charges, all kinds of things coming down, not only in baseball, but it's starting to put its tentacles out into other sports. What's the discussion about gambling in baseball? As we know, it is part of the game now. People, the teams, leagues have spent a lot of money on sports gambling entities.
No, it's an ugly thing. It's like, hey, baseball opened up Pandora's box. I think, when people talk about the, automatic strike zone, robo-umps, I think it's a lot to do with gambling. That, okay, now you can gamble on every single pitch. At some point, maybe 10 years from now, there'll be a thing in front of, by every seat. You can gamble, on the pitches and things like that. And, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You talk to players, I'm sure you talk to Cardinals players, they'll tell you. They get a death threat. Some people get to follow the home. It's bad. But, everybody's into it. Even the Players Association has some licensing things with the gambling companies. It's just a situation where it's just too much money to pass up, unfortunately. But, I think that's why we're having that automatic strike zone. It's just because of the gambling nature of it.
Yeah, in talking about that strike zone, it's going to be implemented for 2026. I think that, for me, I've been wanting this for a long time. I would be in favor of all of the balls and strikes being called by the system as opposed to the human doing it, but now the challenge system. Have you heard any pushback from anybody around the game about the implementation of the automatic balls and strikes for next year?
No, I think people are curious. The pitchers think it's going to favor the hitters. If they believe that everything's geared for more offense. I remember talking to Theo Epstein a few years ago. He's the commissioner's office. They said the one thing about the automatic strike zone, it's a fully automatic strike zone, is that they can change the strike zone from year to year. You want to make it bigger, smaller, up, down, what have you. So I like the challenge system. I do think there's going to be an interesting strategy. It's like, okay, who can challenge? If you're a 7, 8, 9 hitter, hey, you're not allowed to challenge. If it's, first 4 or 5 innings, not allowed to challenge. I don't think they'll let the pitchers challenge. I think the pitchers will think, every pitch is a strike. So, it'll be fascinating to see the strategy involved as who's allowed to challenge and when.
Bob, the other thing, and this is the final thing for me, that we are seeing in terms of a change in baseball is the arrival of Japanese baseball. I mean, it is remarkable what we have seen. The best player in the world is Shohei Ohtani. The best pitcher in the world, I don't think anybody would argue with me, is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Roki Sasaki was closing things down. Now you have other players coming from Japan like Munetaka Murakami. There are so many right now, and they're seasoned, Bob. That's the thing, is they're playing a lot of baseball over there and coming over. What do you think is to come here in Major League Baseball when it comes to Japanese players?
Talking to a couple agents here, there's more to come, too. After this year, there's a bunch of young pitchers they're coming. You're absolutely right. You know, they're polished. They know how to pitch. Yeah, there's adjustment. You know, the balls are different, that sort of thing. But, you know, I was covering the L.A. Dodgers, you know, back in 95 when Hideo Nomo came over. He was the first Japanese pitcher or Japanese player to come over since 1964. And he kind of opened the door for everybody. But, yeah, I mean, that's why you see so many Japanese reporters. You know, as big as baseball is in this country, it's so much bigger in Japan. It was almost like, you know, college football, NFL football, you know, times 10 in Japan. I mean, so many, you know, you go to the Dodgers to cover their games, even, you know, games on a Wednesday afternoon, you'll have 80 Japanese reporters in that clubhouse. It's amazing just how in love they are in baseball with Japan.
Well, when it comes to free agency, trades, hot stove league, turn to Bob Nightingale, that's for sure. I don't think there are going to be fireworks at the GM meetings, but certainly the groundwork has been laid. Bob, before we go, I've had you on for a long time. I always ask you at the end, what are you working on? What can we see in the next USA Today?
Yeah, you said something on the, you know, Paulino Podesta, who had been out in the NFL for 10 years. Now he's the GM of the Rockies. Probably do something in the AL East. You know, what a bloodbath it is for the teams all fighting for the same players. And in about 15 minutes from now, you know, Scott Boras, the agent, is going to hold court. So he'll be talking about how everybody should sign
his
players.
Loves doing that.
Yeah, right. So we'll see that in a few minutes.
That's right. Have fun, Bob. And by the way, there's a speakeasy at the Cosmo. It's a barber shop, and you walk through there, and it turns into a bar. You gotta kind of walk your way through there, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Ask around. I'm sure you've
probably checked it out tonight. Okay, I'll check it out.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Bob. Appreciate it all. Always.
Sure, my pleasure.
Bob,
okay, my pleasure. All right.
Thank you. USA Today baseball columnist with us on KMOX.
Tom, got a guy watching on YouTube who says, imagine getting fired twice and having a good reputation. I imagine he's talking about Chaim Bloom, who was not fired twice.
Yeah, that's wrong.
He left Tampa Bay willingly to take the Boston Red Sox job. But we do appreciate you for being half right.
How about his ominous name, Deadly St. Louis?
Well, I don't know what that means.
Easy.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM KMOX.
All right, we have 2 minutes to talk about our favorite subject right now, which is our football team.
Actually, I think it's everyone's favorite subject.
The Indiana Hoosiers are once again the number two team in the college football playoff. They will be taking on Wisconsin this Saturday, should handle them. And then they play at Purdue, the rivalry game, to wrap up the regular season, should handle them. And that would set up, in theory, a Big Ten championship game against Ohio State in Indianapolis and an opportunity to play for a gulp national championship.
Oh,
I can't believe
it.
I'm even saying it. It's unbelievable. Now, on your side of things, I'm really happy for you. I've told you for years, there's no reason why the Chicago Bears shouldn't be great. They are Chicago's team, and look at this. They are tied for first in the NFC North with a record of 6-3.
Let me tell you, Tom, there is one reason, and that's because ownership has been terrible. But yeah, they are currently technically tied for first, even though the Lions have the tiebreaker. But there is nothing better that I love than seeing the Bears in front of the Green Bay Packers, who did you watch that crap fest on was it Monday night?
I didn't. I thought about our conversation about the NFL versus college football, and I literally texted to a group of friends, some of whom are NFL fans, and I said, people actually like this over college football? I mean, I just
Yes. It was just one bad day.
No score at halftime.
Terrible. Ugh.
By the way, your 3-point dogs at Minnesota, they still don't believe in you.
It's because they lost to the Vikings before.
Yeah.
They will not do it this time. Let's go, Caleb.
I'm excited for you. Thanks to Matt Pajeski.
Hey, Chiefs Broncos Sunday on KMOX.
Oh, that's good.
3:25.
That's a showdown.
That's right.
For sure. Hey, thanks for joining us. The Gas House Gang. Bernie Miklas joins Chris Ranji tomorrow.
Let's go, baby. 12 o'clock.